Welcome to the Christian Ministries Church Podcast. As you listen, we pray God's blessing be over you and that He will empower you with inner strength through His Spirit. Now let's join Pastor Ashley Ellison.
Well, I'm glad you're here tonight. I want to talk a little bit about what we started last week. And we titled last week, Are You Scared? Are you scared? And I talked a little bit last week about fret and worry. That's kind of the avenue that I took what we were talking about. And I said that fret and worry is wreaking havoc upon Christians. And it's not an attribute that is going to benefit you in the kingdom. Fret and worry. Not good things. The concern that I shared last week is at Halloween, we are inviting or okay with attracting that which we should be rejecting. And I've got to talk about this tonight because tomorrow is a real powerhouse night in the supernatural, and it is defeating a lot of things if Christians don't understand what's going on in the supernatural. We are embracing things we should be rejecting. I think a lot of it is innocence. I don't think it was intended to get where we are at, but our young people of today, they're bringing in an attraction, and I'll just say it's not just young people today. It was young people when we were young. We've brought an attraction to demonic type things that we're trying to make funny or we're trying to make attractive. Now, I just want to go on record tonight that what Melanie was saying about our fall harvest party tomorrow, obviously we want to dress and we want to have fun with our kids to get some candy. But the last thing I want to do is bring an attraction to the demonic. However, there's a whole world that needs the attraction of Jesus and the attraction of life and life more abundant. And so, as she said, we're not going to condemn anyone that were to walk in here, but we as a church understand that we have a responsibility not to engage in that. In that type of thing for the, and you go, I just don't know. It's just, come on, Pastor, it's really not that big a deal. Bloody, nasty, sick, demonic, horrible, grotesque, those are words that describe a lot of the costumes that you will see tomorrow. It's just not that big a deal. Bloody, nasty, sick, demonic, horrible, grotesque. Come on, Pastor, it's not that big a deal. Let me say these words again. Bloody, nasty, sick, demonic, horrible, grotesque. It's not that big a deal. It's a big deal. It's a big deal. We are bringing an attraction to something that we should be rejecting. And I just want to make sure we get that before we leave here tonight. Should we as Christians embrace that which the Bible says to reject? And you say, well, how does it say that? Well, we're going to talk about that tonight. I just totally expect some people to say, really? Really? Really, Pastor? There's some local pastors of some big churches in our area that got on this subject here a couple of years ago, and USA Today published an article about it. It's John Lindell at James River. He got quite attacked because he was talking about the demonic influence in our society. And what they really attacked him about was we are embracing something called yoga when its roots are all of demonic. Now, you might go, well, I'm in yoga. You'll have to send a letter to John Lindell. Some of this that he said, you can't deny because he brought it from a biblical aspect. And I want to make sure what I'm doing tonight is I'm bringing things from a biblical aspect and teaching. So we're going to do a lot of scripture tonight. If you have your Bible, Mark chapter 1. The concern that I have about the demonic influence in our society, and let me just say it the way they are, the concern I have about demons is that Christian people are not aware of the dangers nor the reality of them. They're just not aware. We don't even think about it. Well, let me just tell you, 200 years ago, Jesus came to help a suffering humanity. And we're all saved here tonight because we believe that. He came to help us out of our sin-sick state and to make a change in our life and to have a new life. The miracles that he is most noted for in all of Scripture is healing the sick and casting out demons. That's what he's known for. Mark chapter 1, verse 21. Towards the beginning of Jesus' 3.5-year public ministry, here's what is said in Mark 1, 21. Jesus and his companions went to the town of Capernaum. And the Sabbath day came, he went to the synagogue and began to teach. The people were amazed at his teaching, for he taught with real authority, quite unlike the teachers of religious law. Suddenly, a man in the synagogue who was possessed by an evil spirit cried out, "Why are you interfering with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus reprimanded him, "Be quiet and come out of the man. Be quiet, come out of the man. Be quiet, come out of the man." Jesus had a direct statement to what we are embracing, he rejected. "You be quiet and come out of the man." That's what he said to the demonic influence. He ordered him out. And in verse 26, at that, the evil spirit screamed, threw the man into a convulsion, and then came out of him. Verse 27, amazement gripped the audience, and they began to discuss what had happened. "What sort of new teaching is this?" they asked excitedly. "It has such authority. Even evil spirits obey his orders." The news about Jesus spread quickly throughout the entire region of Galilee. We are having a class that starts this Sunday on authority of the believer. This scripture right here talks about the authority that Jesus walked in. And we have to understand what he did for us to be able to gain insight of how we are to act. Jesus went on and continued his ministry, and whenever he encountered a demon, he dealt with it. When he encountered a demon, he dealt with it. When Jesus encountered a demon, he dealt with it. He dealt with the demon. Toward the end of his earthly ministry, Luke chapter 13, you can turn there with me, he sent a message here to Herod that he would continue to cast out demons and heal the sick. He says in verse 32 of Luke 13, "I will keep on casting out demons and healing people today and tomorrow, and the third day I will accomplish my purpose." Now what was he saying here? I'll keep on casting out demons and healing people. This is what I'm going to do while I'm here. I'm going to keep on casting out demons and I'm healing people. I'm going to keep on casting out demons and I'm healing people. Jesus said that. Jesus commissioned his followers and he transmitted authority to them. He never sent anyone out to preach the gospel without specifically instructing them and equipping them to take actions against demons in the same way he did. And we don't talk about this. But Jesus equipped the people he was instructing, which should be us. Satan has developed an opposition to the ministry that wants to expel demons, and that's why you don't hear about it in church much anymore. You don't hear it talked about. We'll talk about healing the sick in some faith churches, but we're not talking about casting out demons. Are you kidding me? What's that? That's all weird. Satan is a creature of darkness. Who would agree with that? See, he's a creature of darkness. He wants to keep his activities concealed. Everybody will go, "Yeah, I guess that's true." He wants to keep people unaware of his tactics. He don't even want to know about his existence. And he uses these tools, ignorance and fear, to hide behind, and then it opens a door through those things for his destructive purposes. Ignorance and fear are not just confined to non-Christians. Ignorance and fear inhabits a lot of people. And it's a doorway for Satan, the enemy, to do his work. Now, a couple of things we as Christian people, God's people, need to know is that if Jesus went and healed people, was that a ministry outreach of Jesus? Would you say yes or no? He went to heal people. Was that an outreach ministry that Jesus had? Yes, he reached out to people and he healed them. All right, he also cast out demons. Would that be a ministry outreach of Jesus? Yes, he said in John chapter 14, verse 12, and these are Jesus' words. He says, I tell you the truth, anyone who believes in me will do the same works I have done. Now, everybody here just said, yes, that was a work of Jesus. That was a ministry of Jesus. Well, John 14, 12, Jesus says, I'm going to tell you, anyone who believes in me, that would be all of us, will do the same works I have done and even greater works. Let me just tell you, the start of what we need to be doing is healing the sick and casting out demons. I mean, we've got a responsibility here that I don't think a lot of us even approach because I don't think it's out of direct disobedience, it's out of ignorance or it's out of fear. And so we got to get God's people equipped to where we're not ignorant anymore. Well, how do you get people not ignorant? Get them knowledgeable. It's what you do. You just get them some knowledge. What I do, you shall do also, and then even greater works. So we've established what Jesus did and what we are to do. I believe that there is a demonic influence that is very heavy in our culture today. And it's overboard. I mean, I'm daily encountering things that are demonic of nature, and I'll just go out and say, it's not just demonic of nature, it's actually demons. And I have seen the effects of it in the lives of people. There is a freedom that needs to come for some people who are continually dealing with attacks that they need to understand that the name of Jesus can turn. But they don't understand the power in the name of Jesus, nor do they understand what they're being attacked by, and so they don't call on him. Demons mentioned all through Scripture. Let's just do a Scripture run. 1 Timothy 4:1. Now the Holy Spirit tells us clearly that in the last times, some will turn away from the true faith. They will follow deceptive spirits and teachings that come from demons. Demons teach. But we only look at them like, that's not. They're not just out here, but they're teaching people. Now, you need to know that because there's teaching that goes on. And if we understand that, we can have knowledge about it, and then we'd be careful about what we're hearing. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 4 says, the God of this age, now you, in your Bible, it should say the God should be a little g, which is not Father God, capital G, it's the little God, Satan, of this age, has blinded the minds of unbelievers, so that they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. All right, who has Satan blinded? Unbelievers. What's the hope for them? Sight. He's blinded them to spiritual truths, and sight is what they are in need of. How are they going to get it? They're going to get it by us casting the demon out to clear up the sight. Because they're blinded by Satan. They're blinded by demonic things. And if they're blinded by demonic things, then what do we have to do? Then we have to do what Jesus said we are to do, the same things he did, and we need to get that out. Get Satan out, get demons out. James 2:19, you believe that there is one God, good. Even the demons believe that and shudder. This is a big verse to me. How many people say, yeah, I believe in God. So do the demons. So do the demons. What does that have to do with anything? Only believe. That word believe, when it's talking about there, is a complete trust in. There can be a belief in something that you know exists that you don't have a trust and a faith and a drive towards. James 2:19, you need to remember that. Job 4:15 says, a spirit glided past my face, and the hair on my body stood on end. Whew. and we act like there's something fun to be toyed with and played with. Luke 8, verse 30. Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" "Legion," he replied, because many demons had gone into him. If we're going to get rid of ignorance, you got to have some knowledge, and then you got to apply the knowledge that you get. I'm all about these classes that we're doing on Sunday mornings. I'm all about them. Why? Because they offer a lot of knowledge. I'm all about being in church on Sunday and on Wednesday night. Why? Because hopefully there will be a lot of things that are offered that should gain some knowledge. But know this, knowledge without application will do you no good. And so in the class, I love what happened on Sunday morning. We took a class that we had been meeting for 8 weeks, and then we saw a couple of healings. We saw some exciting things about the Spirit manifesting himself in people's lives. How does that happen? It happens because we took the knowledge and we made the application. So tonight, don't leave this teaching just on paper. Let's go ahead and make the application into our lives. Some things that we need to know about demons, and we need to know these because they're things that with knowledge can dispel ignorance, and dispelling ignorance means that we don't give a foothold to the devil. So the first thing, demons are organized under Satan. They have a level of hierarchy that they go by, and they have rulers, authorities, powers, evil spirits. Ephesians 6, verse 10. Everybody knows this verse, but we're not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. Aren't those all the same thing? No, they're different levels. They're different levels of demonic activity, people. I won't call demons people. They're demons. And they have a hierarchy system. And you have to know that. There's rulers, there's authorities, there's powers, there's evil spirits. Where are they? In the heavenly places. And you got to know that. You can't deny, if you're going to believe the Bible for salvation, then you have to believe that there are demons. So you can't just believe one without the other, because that'd make the whole Bible not right. And the Bible talks specifically about it right here in Ephesians. The second thing, demons have the ability to demonize people. Now, this is what the Bible identifies as demon-possessed, although that phrase is not used. Demonic possession is never actually used in Scripture, demonic possession. People can be demonized, which is a term for demonic possession in some routes, in some thinking. Let's read the Bible. Luke 8, verse 30. Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" "Legion." He replied, "Because many demons had gone into him." The question is often asked, and you might be asking this right now as I'm talking about it. Can a demon go into a Christian? Now, some of you are going, I'm looking around, I'm looking for nodding yes or no, and some of you are going, I don't know. I don't know. Many people would say no, because dark and light can't exist in the same place. Now, I can tell you this, nowhere in Scripture do we read of a demon being cast out of a believer. Now you say, well, what about with Philip? Well, if you read the whole story, you'll get, there's a lot of different things, and I don't have time to go into all of this, but here's what I want you to know. We get caught up on if a believer could be possessed by a demon when that's the wrong thing to get caught up on. Well, you say, what do you mean? Being possessed is not the question. It's, are you at war against them? And the answer to that question is yes, or Ephesians that we just read, chapter 6, verse 10 through 12, they don't mean anything. See, it says we're not fighting. We, Christian people, are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies. We, Christian people, are fighting against demons. Well, a person can't be possessed by, okay, well, let me just go on the other end of that. So I'm not going to answer your question. I'm just giving you some thought-provoking, because there is a lot of theologians that can argue either side of that. And all I can tell you is this. There is a lot of Christian people that are being ruled by demons. Whether or not they're in their inner man is not the question. The question is whether or not they are being influenced in a way that is wreaking havoc upon their life and upon the kingdom of God, because we've got to be examples for how to live the life that God's called us to live. Here's the third thing. So anyway, I hope that kind of, it doesn't answer your question, and that wasn't my intent to answer the question. It's to change the question, because we're asking the wrong question. Sometimes when we say, well, a Christian can't be possessed, then you don't ever worry. You don't ever worry. You don't ever get a knowledge about we need to be taking care of this. We need to be taking care of this. Another third thing. Demons may be exercised or driven out. I don't know what you want to call it from a possessed person. However, you need to understand something now. This can be very dangerous if not followed by stringent cleaning and discipleship. Without proper spiritual care, the person could have a sevenfold manifestation. And you need to understand this. See, this is not something you just toy with. Matthew 12:45, then the spirit finds seven other spirits more evil than itself, and they all enter the person and live there. And so that person's worse off than they were before. That will be the experience of this evil generation. Boy, I'm seeing this more and more and more. Fourth thing tonight. Demons confuse the truth by utilizing demonic lies and half-truths. I have seen this time and time again. 1 John chapter 4. I think that a lot of times we head down roads that we think are biblical, but they're half-truths. And let's just read 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. Dear friends, do not believe everyone who claims to speak by the Spirit. Don't believe everyone who claims to speak by the Spirit. You got to test them to see if the Spirit they have comes from God. For there are many false prophets in the world. This is how we know if they have the Spirit of God. If a person is claiming to be a prophet, acknowledges Jesus came in a real body, that person has the Spirit of God. But if someone claims to be a prophet and does not acknowledge the truth about Jesus, that person is not from God. Such a person has the spirit of the Antichrist, which you heard is coming into the world and indeed is already here. But you belong to God, my dear children. You've already won a victory over those people because the spirit who lives in you is greater than the spirit who lives in the world. Let me just tell you, there's a spirit that lives in you that needs to be greater than the spirit that lives in this world. He is, but is he living in you? Number five. Those who worship idols and pagan gods are really worshiping and sacrificing to demons. Demons live to deceive people into worshiping themselves. And we talked about this with idol worship here a couple of weeks ago, if you're in that. But 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 19 says, what am I trying to say? Am I saying that food offered to idols has some significance or that idols are real gods? No, not at all. I'm saying that these sacrifices are offered to demons, not to God. And I don't want you to participate with demons. You can't drink from the cup of the Lord and from the cup of demons too. You can't eat at the Lord's table and the table of demons. What he's saying is when I would just ask you a question. If God is living inside of you, you can't really be doing both. What you've got is a divided mind, which is actually a half-truth is not the truth. And you just need to understand that we are dealing with people who are trying to okay their lifestyle. They're trying to okay what they're doing. And they use half-truths. And they'll use them out of the word, but they're half-truth. There are denominations that are doing this. Just a little interest here. The sixth point I wrote down, the Bible teaches that demons can inhabit animals. I had a horse that had a demon, I'm confident. Matthew 8:31, the demons beg Jesus, if you drive us out, send us into the herd of pigs. I've got my mind going 100 places and I need to stick with my notes. Number seven, a demon has accepted marks of a personality. Let's just talk about a demon because we need to know what they are. We need to know a little bit about them. They have a will, they have emotion, they have intellect, they have self-awareness, and they have the ability to speak. Whew, that's kind of weird. I didn't know that about them. I thought it was just a costume you put on. They have a will, emotion, and intellect, they have self-awareness, and they have the ability to speak. Let's just go through these. The first one, they have a will. Matthew 12:44, demon has gone out of a man, says, I will return to my house from which I came. So he makes a decision and then follows it up with an action. That's a will. The second one, emotion, James 2:9, even the demons believe and tremble. Trembling is a very strong emotion. The demons trembled. Intellect, Mark 1:24. I know who you are. I know, I have knowledge. I know who you are, the Holy One of God. See, he knew who Jesus was. Number four, self-awareness. Mark 5, Jesus asked their name and the demon said, Legion, and there are many of us here. I'm aware of where I'm at and I'm right here. It's self-awareness. Number five, the ability to speak. Well, you can look all through scripture and see where the demons, whoever they were occupying, would speak through that person. We see it time and time again in scripture. So we know something about them. Now let me say tonight, we need not magnify them or play with them. Parents, you need to understand why I don't think it's wise to dress your child in a demonic outfit. Because why? Because we as Christians are supposed to cast them out. They're supposed to be cast out. See, they are to be gone. They are to be defeated. We're at war against them. They are not something we need to mess with. They're something we need to repel and get out. They need defeated. And when we understand how to defeat them, then we need to act. And we don't need to embrace them and make fun of them like this is a fun thing. Oh, isn't this child cute? No, he's bloody and grotesque. Well, Pastor, I just think you're carrying this a little far. I'm using scripture tonight to advocate what a Christian is to act like. God has given us, come on, you need to hear this tonight. God has given us every tool necessary to stand against Satan and his demons and win. The best weapon we have in constantly defeating them is consistent and constant discipleship. The best weapon we have to defeat demonic influence, demonic possession, the best weapon we have in being able to cast them is to learn more and more and to get discipled. This year we're talking about making disciples. I'm not even kind of done with this topic. I got a lot that I want to talk about, but it may be a few weeks from now and we'll get into more of this. But you need to understand we have the opportunity. Why don't you see it in church more often? Why don't you see it in church more often? We may need to. I just know this. I said, I know that we're not just implementing warfare on Sunday morning and Wednesday nights. It needs to be on your job on Monday morning. See, it's got to be everywhere we are. There are people that we are coming into contact with that are in possession of a demon. What are we doing to help them? Oh, I'll just pray for you. Well, how do I cast them? What do I do here? We're going to get into a lot more of that. But from the beginning, ever since man turned from God in rebellion, he has been subject to two main spiritual evils. Here's what they are: flesh and demons. Flesh and demons. You might say sin or demons. Or you might say the carnal man or demons. See, from the beginning, two main spiritual evils. But the carnal man was immediately influenced by Satan. Satan knew what to influence. Then carnal man went and did a bunch of stuff. And I'll tell you, we blame demons for a lot of things that's the carnal man's fault. So I'll go and say that also. But I will also say that doesn't give you a right to not talk about the nature of demons and that spiritual evil. We've got to be working in every area of our lives. Boy, Wade's message on Sunday, you need to hear it if you weren't here on Sunday. Powerful. Training for godliness. You want to expel demon activity in your own life, you train for godliness. See, it's not just training to attack the demon. It's training to get yourself into a position where he can't have access in any area. So flesh or demons, Romans 3:23, all have sinned. Everybody say all. All have sinned. How many people? Everybody. All. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All have sinned and fall. See, there's an old man, which is the flesh man, before being reborn. Now, we're talking to a bunch of people who've been reborn tonight. Romans 6:6, Galatians 5:24, the sinful nature, the corrupt, fallen nature, the man before Christ. We get saved and we die to the old carnal nature. But it's a daily putting to death. It's a putting to death. It's a continually saying, that's not having access in my life. And so the question tonight is, are we just dealing with sin? Or are we dealing with flesh? Or are we in fact fighting demons? It's a great question. And let me give you the answer. Yes. To all of those. We're dealing with sin. We're dealing with flesh. We're dealing with the carnal nature. All of those things are the same. And then demons, we're dealing with the demonic influence. I want to end tonight by giving you something to think about. A biochemist once explained, a human body is attacked regularly by cancerous cells. A biochemist said this. A human body is attacked regularly by cancerous cells. When the body is healthy, its immune system identifies and attacks the cancerous cells, and they are unable to harm the body. But when the body has been weakened by illness or some kind of emotional shock, the immune system is unable to do its job effectively, and some form of cancer can develop somewhere in the body. And then it takes an outside source to come in and do what the internal source should have done. Very, very good here. Likewise, spiritually, there seems to be more and more demonic attacks. When a person is healthy spiritually, the spiritual immune system within the person, let's say the Holy Spirit of God, that you are allowing to empower you, that you are allowing you to walk in the newness of life, and give you wisdom on how to operate. When a person is healthy spiritually, the spiritual immune system within the person, they identify and they attack the demons that are trying to come in and have access to. See, they are not able to move in and wreak havoc upon the life of someone who's full of God. How is that the case? Because any kind of unhealthiness or emotional weakness makes a person vulnerable, which means if we got a healthy spiritual mind and body, we're not going to deal with that. We're not going to deal with that wreaking havoc upon us. It's not that you're not going to fight it, but you're the winner. You're the winner. I'm not going to have to deal with that because I know that Jesus came to empower me to win that battle through Jesus. We need the flesh to die, and we need to get it gone and be free from demonic attacks. When we aren't, now I'm talking to the choir tonight, but if you're listening to this, when we are not paying attention to our spiritual wellness, when we're not training for godliness, you can know this. You're subjecting yourself to a lot of demonic attacks. Well, how do I take care of my spiritual wellness? I deal with the sin nature, the carnal man. I get things out of here that tempt me. I get things out of here that, because the Bible says we're tempted by our own evil desires. We have our own evil desires within us. That's not demonic, that's the carnal man. And so we're tempted by that, so I remove those temptations. I don't let things influence me because I would want to do that, but that's wrong thinking. I guard what I listen to. I guard what I watch. I make sure that the input is correct. And the input is correct. If not, what happens is you're not putting the guard up. You're not fighting the battle with the Holy Spirit being your empower. I mean, you're not living there. And what happens is we get these attacks. So, I don't want to give attention to the demonic realm. How do I not give attention to it? I give attention to the Spirit of God. And I stay in that realm, and then I win the battles. Now, that also makes me aware of demonic activity when I'm with somebody else. And I can tell you, at that point, when you're full of God, you have the power to do something about that, just like Jesus did. I hope that makes sense tonight. That's why I'm such a fan of the harvest and not Halloween. I'm just a fan of the harvest. I love the harvest. Seed, time, and harvest. That's God's business. Halloween, if you want to call it, let's just call it seed, time, and harvest. It's harvest. That's why we're having a harvest party. We're offering something different than the world offers. Well, aren't you still acknowledging what the world's doing? Nope, I'm changing the thinking of the next generation into this season is about the harvest. It's not about the blood the grotesque, the gore. I'm done with giving attention to that we should be rejecting. I hope that made sense tonight. Y'all stand with me.
We're so glad you joined us. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit cmchurch.net.